So much excitement. We're waiting for a while already for this year. And it's a gewaldig honor for Beis Medrash Ar Chaim's Night Koel, now learning Hilchas Milah, to hear a shir from Nissen Moses, a Moel Mumcha in Lakewood, and around, out of Lakewood also, as well as the Rosh Chabura in Lakewood, which is Chabura learned Hilchas Milah a few times. So we're hearing from the top on the Inyan Behilchas Milah, and practical, and as we can see, we have all the different kalim that we're learning about to understand what we're talking about. Mila, Priya, Metzitza, V'chilu. Rav Nissen is also is the son of Rav Martcha Moses, which is the well-known Moyel. I grew up in Lakewood. So if you ever said Mila in Lakewood when I was growing up, Rabbi Moses was the Moyel. That was Mila. So, B'noyu Mam Shechdarkoi. We have a tremendous Akar Satoiv to Rabbi Moses that came from Lakewood. It's, he found time. It's, we understand Lamaisa, it's by night, so Lila loves Mamilos. He's a little less busy, but it's still a Tircha. Especially, we all have a Gavaldig Akar Satoiv that he asked the request for the previous Shurim to listen and hear what went on in the previous Shurim, what he could be Moisiv, not to chazu anything over, and what's the most interest to the Olam. And we're excited for the shir, Rav Nissen Moses Shlita.
Eventually, it was good to me. He made it even that tomorrow morning's bris should be in Brooklyn, so I don't even have to go all the way, so I can stay in Brooklyn tonight. And I have to, and then tomorrow morning, l'chaim. Shus kol HaKadosh Hazeh, Mitzvah Mila is daily mishar kol mitzvah say. The Torah, you won't find any other mitzvah. Has a whole siman devoted to Yom Lerner Samach just to tell you how big the mitzvah is. That it's raised by Karis, Yud Gimel Brises. Avram wasn't the Kreshon until he had it. Nisnis Aris was given it. It's Matzila from Gehenim. The Avad Yosef is a tshuva where he's asked about the Moyel and Asandik about going Pimvatel Torah to go out to do Brisin. And he says, Mizkeinim is Bainan. Just look at the stipple, look at every girl. They would go, travel all over to be a sandik, to be Isaac and Mitzvah's Mila. He said, what's the pshat? Because B'Yisayda, like we saw, it's the G'dayla Mital material, like we say in benching. We say, Al Brischa Shechasam Tuvim Sereinu, Al Teiros Hashem Atanu. First comes the bris. In fact, the Mashadi and the Gemara says that bris is tough ratio at bays. It's Koilul, all the other mitzvahs in the bris. So it comes to this, we say the most chashuv mitzvah, the whole Torah, until very recently it was almost very few people who handled, who learned it. So to talk, it's a mitzvah that, you see, like the Bach spoke out in the beginning, it's Betzim, it's Nimshach in a person's whole life. A person, even though if he's Moshek or Lassa, it's only Drabanon. But if he's Pagim Bebrisai, the Gemara says, by Yosef Tzadik and the other people, he loses the Gantz of Bris. It's a mitzvah, like David HaMelech said, that he has the mitzvah, it's Nimshach his whole life. So if Adas a chashuv izach, it's coming more and more to Srab and Yeshivas and Kailim, to Ayom to Turduch, and you see all the Gedalim, there's thousands of tshuvas written on the Sugis of Mila. Like Nachum said, I really didn't want to repeat anything that was already said. There's so much to talk about. However, he explained to me that a lot of people didn't get, even though it was a beautiful Shir, really, as a crone, it was hard to get the picture exactly of what's going on. And before we start with the sugyas of Milut, if you don't have the basics, you don't have clear cloth what's going on, you can't go weiter. So for those who didn't get the picture, we brought the picture and we brought the kalim so that people could understand. So first, let's familiarize ourselves with what we're dealing with and what we're talking about. And from there, we could go weiter. This is not a house. It's a gid. This blue on the inside is the flesh of the gid. This is called the gid, it's the shaft, and the top is called the reish gid. There's two other spots that we have to familiarize ourselves with. This area where it goes in the natation before it gets to its widest point is called the chritz. Inside here is the chritz. We'll see soon the priestkin grows out of there. And this widest point, where it gets to the widest point, is called the chut ha-seviv. We'll see exactly, some say that's the Torah, some say the whole thing is the Torah. The top is called the reish gid. Usually it's commonly referred to as the Atara. The top is the Reish Gid, so we have the Besara Gid, the Reish Gid, and the Chut HaSoiviv that goes all the way around, obviously, over here. That's on the inside, but you don't see. On the outside, you have the skins. This skin, called the Orachitzim, is like the outside skin of a body. It's a thicker skin. in one way it's very different than other skins, and that is that it's very not connected to the flesh on the inside. Since the metzias of a person's gid is that he's a skash and a srapa all the time, so it's not really attached to the skin on the outside, and it works almost like an elevator in a shaft, and it goes up and down all the time. When the baby is mashten and he sleeps, happens all, it gets cold, it goes up and down. So it's very loosely connected, but it's a thick skin. And this skin rises, and it covers over the gid, and then it covers the reisha gid. Sometimes it gets even extra long on the top. There's no difference between the skin here and the skin here. But here it's rechitzin, it's nothing. And anywhere, this whole area covering that Torah is called Arla. Here it's magnified, but really you just see a straight line. You could barely see a tiny bump where it gets a little wider. This skin, as it reaches the top, it actually folded over, and it's a dual skin. And it's folded over on the inside, and on the inside there's a second skin. That skin is called the Arapriya. That goes along the whole Atar on the inside, and like we said before, it connects to the Chiritz on the inside.
These two connected?
It's connected. It's like it's an outer layer of skin and an inner layer of skin. The inside layer is Priya, the outside layer is Arla. Now this is very, very different, the Metzius of this outside skin and this inside skin. This skin is a thick, like an outside skin. The skin on the inside, the Priya skin, is like a memory. It's a very thin memory. Later, I brought some Ataris, you could see the Arla and the Priya. Normally, we bury it right after the Bris, but since I knew that I had a Bris today, so we brought from today and from yesterday and from Sunday, I brought them along. Everyone can be invited the after Mai, we'll have a Kvura. But that we'll show you exactly. But it's a very, very fine. It's very cone-shaped, and it's usually quite attached to the atara with like smegma, with like cheese.
Like cone shape.
It's like, just like the atara is cone
shaped.
So the priya is shaped, that mamish and lies very close to the priya, and it sits mamish against it, and it sits on it, and it's usually a lot of times very dovek with smegma to the atara. That is the tzurisa gid. Gid, roisha gid, arachitzen, arlo, priya, and you have the chitz and the chutasayivet. The Arla, if you were somehow, you could widen it and push it down, it would just come right back up, and you wouldn't have nothing. So what you have to do a bris, the first thing is you have to cut off the Arla. You have to cut off the whole area till past the Atari, you have to cut it off. Now obviously, as for Shalom, you're going to cut the Atari, that is a problem. There's the Atari inside. So what do? I've explained before, we have an elevator here. So you send the elevator down to the basement. So what the Mayil does is, he takes his hands and he grips the Arla together past where that Atara was. That Atara was inside here. This is where that Atara was. So he takes his fingers right here and he squeezes it together and he squeezes down that Atara. You see he has ready to go for it. He squeezes it in. He squeezes the whole thing down. And now, if he cuts across, he's cutting off till his line. He's cutting off the whole Atara. And that's the way you do a bris. You take a knife, you hold it the whole way to the bris, they just grabbed it, and they cut it. This is a knife, this is a din of charepifia, it's a two-sided knife, and you cut it off. Already in the time of some Sofer, they came up, there were never some stories where somebody only thought they only had the skin, but unfortunately there was some, the hole or some of that tar is still inside. So they came up with a thing called a guard. This is a guard, has a little piece, and the point is, that if the Mayil is mistaken, he really has some Atara inside, even just a little bit to tip, it won't fit in here, only the skin will fit here, and as he pushes it on, it will push out the Atara. So the guard was made for a safety measure. Even the guard was met, of course, by the Rabbanim with a lot of, they didn't want any Kelim Chadashim, some Sofer didn't want to let, the Baal Zefri, the Gozer Rub didn't want to let, but when they heard my system, they all said that Zechiah should start using it. Today, come on, every single Rav, every single Mayil uses the guard. As mentioned last year, there is something very similar that from what I've not heard of, which is the clamp. The difference in the clamp and the guard looks very similar in the beginning. This is the clamp, this is the guard. Just the clamp has a clamp. And what the clamp is, they put that the Arla and the Priya inside, they close it, they go like this, and then you shut it like that. Now, as explained, it's extremely, extremely painful. And one of the main reasons why, in their form and in several places, they love, the Mayilim love doing this, is what they do is they take the baby before the bris, the sub-basement, without the father and the mother, they turn on the They turn on, they put on the clap, the baby screams his kishkas out. He usually screams for at least 5 minutes until he doesn't feel anything anymore because the nerves are already all dead, and he is so exhausted, he falls into a exhaustive sleep. Then they bring the baby out to the crowd, and everyone's eating, and they make the bracha. Now this is the reason why it's probably bracha vatala, because you don't even have to cut it. You could just peel it off, and they cut it, and there's no bleeding, and there's no crying, and who could have the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful bris? And that's why that's the preferred method of choice. They don't care about the tzar. I recently even had a fryer person who called up Big Fry in Middle New Jersey and already hired him. They call like 2 months in advance a lot of times. Sometimes they have a scheduled see and they know exactly what they just want to know. Tuesday I did a bris in Friel. She called me 2 months ago, which was due May 27th. That's what they call. So she already told me to really call the fryer, but then when she heard about the clamps, she was a doctor, and she heard about the pain, and she heard that the frum would do it. It's much less painful. So she was calling, she wanted to cancel her old mail, and she wanted to use. That's the clamp. Okay, so we'll leave that. But what we use is a guard. Okay, so we put that. Now what happens after, as soon as you cut that off? Just wanted to say, with the guard, besides safety, it also makes the cut usually very neat and easy. We'll see if a father wants to do a cut. All he has to do, you show him before, he goes back and forth along with the guard, it'll be a neat cut. I've seen Myla manage to make not neat cuts, but it should be a lot easier with the guard. What happens as soon as you cut this off? So there's nothing holding, the skin is off, your finger's not there, there's nothing holding it down anymore. So the Atara is going to rise back up. Here's where you cut it. And it's going to come back up. Now, as you can see, it's mostly covered in Priya. Why is that? So we explain. The Priya was attached to the Atara up on top and attached to the Charitz on bottom. When you squeeze out the Atara, a lot of that Priya is going to go down, especially since it's attached to the Atara, like we explained. So most of it's going to stay down. It's very stretchy. A little bit usually will stay up and stretch up, but most will stay, and most of the Priya will be here. So after the bris, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Pesukim explaining the bris, they had a Atara, but it was covered with Priya. What do you do with the Priya? So I'm in the Pesukim, you take it, your nails, you grab it with your two nails, and you rip it. And then, as it rips, you get yourself two ears, you have two flaps, and then you can peel it off and push it down here. Why rip it? Why not just push it down? So there's two main reasons given already by Rishayin and Gainim, that one reason is that if you would try to just peel it and push it, you'll be mazik the gid. It's very attached, your nails, whatever, your keli, whatever you use, and you could see a lot of times by Brisson, come later, I've seen by them, they use different nails, and the flesh is ripped, it's torn. So by ripping it open, it's easier, it's safer. It's more than it's safer not to be mazik. The kid is dangerous, the shesen and the pechulu. That's one reason. The other reason is if you're going to push this down, even if you're going to manage to force it down, we say it's cone-shaped, this is its natural, and it's very, very tight. It's going to be, because it reaches still here. Down here, it's going to be very, very tight. The baby goes in and out all the time. What's going to happen? In time, it's going to flip back up, and it'll be back up. Once you rip it, that loosens the whole tension. Now it's out. Now it's not cone anymore. It opens it up, and once it opens it up, it has no tension to force it back up, and it'll stay down. Eventually, it will grow in to the arachitzin. These two skins will join together, and the atara will remain magula. One thing I do want to mention, this thing, you see the place I'm saying, mol v'loi para kiu lei mol, and it's brought down, I raise it, it's this aral kibitchila. What actually happens, we have two types of skin. We have derma and epiderma. Epiderma is finished skin, it doesn't grow any skin. The backside of the priya is derma. That means it's unfinished skin. If someone would just do the chitach and leave the priya up, what would happen over time is the skin will grow on the back of it, a finished skin. And it will go arla skin. And it'll be a regular arla. You'll never know that he ever had a bris. Is because if it's laid, stayed up, if it stays up, it grows new skin on the back and he stays arla. So you rip it, you put it down, and you have your bris. What's next? Al tzakana, the Mishnah says, you have to do mitzitza. The male takes his mouth, it's very, very tiny, he puts it over the
arla.
What
stops the arla from not growing back?
This from coming up?
Yeah.
That's all it reaches. You cut till past the third. There's no reason for it to grow up. Yeah, this is the place where you cut. There's no reason for it to come up.
Skin grows, it doesn't
grow. No, it attaches to here. Why would it grow more? It's attached. It's finished. There's no reason for it to grow up. If he becomes fat, and fatness will push it forward, that's the whole sugya of Balbasar.
There's skin on the Otara.
When you put your meat, the Vayil puts his mouth over the whole thing, he makes a strong suck, that's the Mitzitza. After that, he has to stop the bleeding, which is the biggest sakana usually in Brisson. We're not talking about Chasham cutting that Tara. And that is two, either you could use powders, Shulchan Aruch says, or he puts on a bandage, or both, and that stops the bleeding, and there you have your bris. So once again, we have make the tvisa, you put on the guard, you cut the arla, then you take the priya, you rip it, and you push it down, and then you do mitzitza, and you bandage.
The bleeding is from the arla.
Arla has bleeding. Our priya could bleed.
The priya bleeds.
Less, but it could bleed, it's much thinner.
And you're ripping the membrane.
And when you rip it, it could bleed a drop. And there's some capillaries on the flesh also that have blood on it.
When you rip it, is it usually rip?
It stretches first and then it rips.
When you rip it, does it ever rip totally on one side and a little bit on another side?
No, usually, once you know what you're doing, it rips down.
Puts the mouth on the whole
what? He covers his whole, he puts his mouth from here to here. It's very tight.
The whole thing into his mouth.
Yeah, it takes the whole thing into his mouth.
And the blue has skin as well?
What?
The blue has the
no, this has no
skin. It's not.
It's like a flesh, whatever. It's like a raw flesh. Now, just one more thing we want to add, which is also mentioned, of course, in the shear, which is probing. If you look here, I have a lot less priya than I have here. Now, priya is very thin, and even if you have a bunch, what will usually happen is it'll bunch up, and it will still join together with arachitza. However, it won't look so nice, because you'll have a lot of priya, and if you see the sugis are something about busser, what happens when a person has a lot of skin here, so as soon as it gets fat, it comes forward. So Mayulim realized always that the less priya skin you have behind, the nicer the bris is going to look, and the less issues you're going to have later. So in Mayla, they wanted to get more priya. But as we explained, it's hard to get priya, because it's very attached. It's very attached to that to the atara. So when you squeeze it, it's going to stay down here. So therefore, they started with the Chuvuskainer brings it, the Yavitz brings it, that they take something called a probe. This is what a probe looks like. And before the bris, either right before the room, before he sticks it in here, that means between the priya and the atara, and he goes all the way around, and he separates it, all the smegma, all the adhesions and connections. They scream, but they stop immediately after, which means it's uncomfortable, not pain. And as soon as you finish doing that, then it's separate. Now when you make your tvisa, you'll get much, much more priya.
So
you'll have
bleeding also when you probe.
It usually almost never bleeds. If you're good at it, it almost never bleeds. Is there someone to say it does bleed, so you should do it before Shabbos and have time to get into the Shai Lev Shabbos? It could bleed. It could be a strong adhesion. It could be a strong adhesion. So then you have a little priya, and then it mamish looks nice, and there you have the bris. As we show it on here, it's obviously magnified a lot of times. It looks very, very, very simple. So simple. As mentioned, a father should be able to do it, especially if he has a male there. The male sets it up, so the father has to just take the knife, cut along the guard, and he's done. But why, yes, let the male, might take longer, tzar and others. So it's not so pashut. Rav Doyle saw this Arzurua in Reish Samach Dalet, that Arzurua says that if a father knows how to do the bris himself, it's usur for him to give it to somebody else. Dr. Moshe brings Arzurua. Zok Dr. Moshe, but tzarichin. Why is it different? Every mitzvah, you could have a shliach, why should this mitzvah be different? You can't. If you look in Chin Pei Beis, the Ramah brings there a Rosh, that the Rosh says that if somebody goes and the Meryl and the father are about to do the bris, and another Meryl comes, chapsais the mitzvah, he does the bris. Zok the Rosh, you have to give Asor Zehuvim to the father. But Zok the Rosh, that's only if the father was going to do it himself. If he was going to give it to a shliach, since he doesn't own the mitzvah, it's Kim Dvar Ba'alma, you don't owe him anything. Dr. Shach, what's going on over here? He was a shliach. You should have to give him the asar zehuvim, even if he had a mile doing the bris. Dr. Shach, we see from here, you cannot do shlichis on mila. And he says, as har gedayla, I've seen this many times, people should tell everybody that if you know how to do a bris, it's mamish, terrible thing. We just gave a whole drasha how this is the most chashuv mitzvah of your life. You give it to the mile, you lose the mitzvah. As long as Dr. Shach. What would be the pshat in this? Why can't every mitzvah you could do shlichus? Zok tzeis that mila, the din to do a bris on your kid, is a mitzvah shebegufay. That means just like you can't pay kupa to ear from Chaim Kanievsky to put tefillin on for you, because you have to put tefillin on your arm, The same way, you can't do shlichus on mitzvah beguf. It's up to choice. The din of mila is that you have to mamish do the cut. It's a tremendous chiddush. We'll see you sharing mashmi with fakert. But as I did choice, that's one pshat, the vusta pshat. Is a little less, another pshat from Avram, that we remember the Reish Samachal, if a father doesn't do a bris, is a chiyuv on the whole Klal Yisrael to do the bris. Dr. Avram, when could you have shlichus for a mitzvah when it's your mitzvah, not the other guy's mitzvah? But if he also has a chiyuv to do it, he can't do it for you, it's automatically going to go for him. That's the Avram Niktsais. However, Lamais, if you look in older Shainim, Rabban, Meiri, Ritva, it's mavur that for sure shlichus works, and maybe you don't even need shlichus. So it's very shver. And more than that, we just bring a Ramah. The Ramah brings this rush. We just said, Darkei Moshe says, Tzarechin on our Zeruah, Vada Shlichus works. So we don't know what Teretz for the rush maybe, but we know that Darkei Moshe is the Ramah. So the Ramah held Shlichus works, and he still says, he's a chilek of Azar Zehuvim. So we must have had another pshat on the rush. So Behechik, it's not a rai from the rush. The one pshat given is that Azar Zehuvim is the schar Pirchus HaMitzvah. So therefore, it could be, even if you have a shlich to the mitzvah, even though the mitzvah goes to you, it could be the schar birchis and mitzvah is his.
Well, the lashon rosh is his, but, so
for the bracha. For the bracha. The Gemara says that it's for the bracha, but the mashal is for both. So that would be a yishuv for the rosh. As far as there's a ruah, that also says it's aser. So be'emis, it's bavust, the shittas of marachar zeruah, who's the son of a zeruah, who rather rarely argues on his father, and when he does, he come out, always brings it. The marachar zeruah answers, and Olam Stam saw Tosis Kasha. The Tosis asks, then why do we need a miyat that a lady can't do a bris? So, it's a mitzvah says man grama. Mashra potter from all mitzvah says man grama. And for the Merachar Zeruah, that the mitzvah mila is a night also. What do you mean? You can't do a bris at night. He says, the chim of the father is not to do the maisa chitta. I mean, the opposite of the choice that it's mamish and mitzvah shabagufa to do the chitta. The mitzvah of the father is to see that it gets done. And that's even real the night. Meaning, then in my house, the phone once ring at 2 o'clock in the morning, grandparents from the waiting room, they're calling to reserve. It's 2 o'clock, they want to be the first ones, they know how it goes, if you get 4 or 5 bris in one day, first come, you get the first time slot. They call. Somebody else had a little more manners back when we were living in Yeshiva apartments, and it was about 3 o'clock, maybe they knew he couldn't call, he didn't know how early he's allowed to call. So he came by to the apartment, and he took a piece of paper, and he wrote on it, his name and his number, 3 a.m., and he's reserving for this day. And he slipped it under the door at 3 o'clock in the morning. So we see that one thing, that this is the chiv on the father, it's not just by day. And as always, after Merach HaZeruah, the chiv, you have to be Isaac and getting a mail and the cater and the whole al-zachin, is a night also. So Fir HaZeruah, his vada not learning like the choice. Merach HaZeruah. And it's very shmer to say that he was choylik on his father's shita, that if his father held like the choice, shlichus doesn't work. So Achayim say, a pshat in that our Zeruah is not coming then Shlavad doesn't mean that Shlichus doesn't work. Zeruah says that Tumah, the father, could do it himself. And the reason why he's saying it's us, it's like all mitzvahs, that we know a klal of a mitzvah boy, Yoyser B'Shluchai. That if a person can do a mitzvah himself, he can't give it to somebody else, he shouldn't give it to somebody else to do. And that's what they learn. On that already, the Chidon, a lot of places can say, that's only if you could do the mitzvah. What's the meaning of mitzvah Yisrael v'shluchai? It's bazayin a mitzvah, covenant a mitzvah. A guy can do it himself, and he lets somebody else, because he'd rather do something else, more important, so it's bazayin a mitzvah. But if somebody has, Moil could do better, a better job than him, and they spring down, he's paying either of it's costing him money, right? I'm not going to give a share of his mutter for Moil to take money. It's not one of the shirim I like. So, and it's costing him money. That's other, but that's a kavodah mitzvah. And there, that Dor's rule wasn't talking about. So we have that the Ramah, obviously, is Miyash of the Rosh, and the Teretz for the Zeruah. And that's talking, the Mechaber brings in Reish Samachay, that the Av stands over the Moil, Leidia Shu Shlichai, and Meilitz Kapaskin, by all the places, and the minute that you could hire, for those who are scared of blood, Potter, you could hire Merle to do the best. However, Lamaiso, you have a choice, and you have a shach. There are shittas like that. So today, with people, we have to be yoyitz to every shita. There are a lot of people who say they want to do it. So Takim Shlim Zalman says that the father knows that he could do it good, and he won't be scared, that he could do it. Other Gedolim were very against it. Other Gedolim, in the Dov Soloveitchik, he won't come to the bris if the father wants to do it. It was a little crazy. It was Bavusta, he was very against it. I remember in Lakewood Yeshiva when Rav Don Segel spoke by the spade, it was a little crazy. That's what he mentioned, that the Zumbel was very against. And if you're a Mayil, and a lot of times you let fathers do it, then you'll know it takes a lot of times longer and it's not as neat. My father, twice they cut his finger, one of his fingers is a little flat because the finger's right there. It's not the same, but Mail's a business, the guy the father wants, they usually let. But, and also, just mention from what I've seen, you never heard of the stipler did his kid's bris, or the Maharin did his kid's bris, or Gakum. You never heard that. You'll be here. People who are, Ibn Chacham, or whatever. Derek Clark, I don't want to make fun of anybody, but that's just what I've seen. Okay, but, so that's the fall. Okay, so we're back. You can call the mile. Does it make a difference which mile you call? A mile we saw, you do the bris, you do the bris. It looks pretty simple. Could anything go wrong? So I'll preface by saying that I've done for sure over 50 redos on Brisson. For sure. My father, for sure over 50 redos. You probably never heard of them, even though somebody might hear here, might have a kid. Minig Ashkenaz is that even though it's a din brought down on Halacha to have a minion by the bris, Minig Ashkenaz is that we don't have a minion by a redo, not to embarrass the mile. Svardim do, they bring a minion. I once had one guy in yeshiva that he actually wanted to have the minion, so he went around asking friends who he made sure weren't at the first bris, and they weren't going to ask to find out who the mile was, and he got 10 people to come, and then he even called Yeruchim with Sandvik, and he called them to come back with Sandvik, because now's the bris. And Yeruchim rather told me afterwards that he was so excited to get this call. Because he said that even by the bris, it was very hard to see by a bris what's going on. Even the mile a lot of times doesn't know until he gets to the room and he checks it. But and he said, it doesn't look right. But what's he going to say in the middle of the church? Never said it. But he said that Mamish is licked of an arts for months already. And when the father called him, it was Mamish, this is Rabbi Yeruchim Siat Hashmai, because I did all these readings. Nobody ever called back the first Sandik. And because it hurt Rabbi Yeruchim, Hashem made that this guy should call him back. And he thought it came back and he was Sandik. So what does it mean to redo? Why? What's the Indian? So the first thing is, and this is the first gruesome machlokes. Thank you very much. Go the on. First gruesome machlokes when it comes to Hilchus Milah happened the time of the Beis Yosef. It's brought here in Reish Samachdal by the Beis Yosef that because Beis Yosef svarad al tila and it's brought down that the Reshiva was out, which was when most fights start, and there was came a whole machlokes. What is the Atar? Let's go back to the original picture. What is the Atar? And why was it a machlokes? Because if you look throughout Shas in different sugyas, there's a lot of different mashmayas. Sometimes the whole thing seems to be referred to as Atara, and sometimes just the Chod HaSayif is referred to as Atara. Rashi is pretty clear all across the board that the Atara is just this. He doesn't count. What's a Negeya? The Mishnah says that if you have Arla covering Rav the Atara, and the Gemara says Afil Rav Gaiva Shal Atara, it's Ma'akav the Bris. So what does that mean? So the two Ashar held, like he held Rashi, and Rambam brings Rashi, he got held Rambam also like that, that just this is the Atar. This tiny, widest spot. That means that if after the bris, finally cut, he didn't cut right here, he cut around here, and even in one spot, the Arla comes a little bit over, let's say one spot will come a drop over, that's really Rav Gaiva the Atar, because it's just the Atar. And it's a possible of bris. As I got the Tuashar, and if you look, right here, some down, Kamehika says, I'm a Tuashar, some say I'm a Tuashar, they will say.
Like the Tushar, so how wide is the? Is
so that's
the,
one of the kashas. The hell, if it's just a chut, what does it mean? Rav Gaiva. It's one of the kashas on the Tushar. Okay. So some say you measure from the chritz. There's a being seen like that.
So where?
That it means this area. No. For the gaiva, that this is no. The gaiva of the chut asayiv. That's a kasha. What? Yeah.
No.
The Tushar shita. The chacham esvadi that the b'shoyis brings came with a pshara. And he said, Rashi says, Kol Shekhin Rav, this is too different. When we talk about Rav Gaiva, we're talking about the whole Atar. We're talking about this whole area. And if you have one spot with a strickle coming up right of the way, that's Ma'akev. That's not so mitzvah, especially with a guard, you cut across, so it won't happen. But Rav Hekif, that's not Rav Hekif like this. That's about the Rav Hekif of the Chut. So now, if a mail cuts just a little bit too little, explain a little bit why you might do that, but it gets a little bit too little, and it comes back forward, and it comes just a little bit over that outside rim, Fidochim Svardi, and it's like before the Shach, and the Taz, and Mishmur Paskin like that, we'll see in a minute, Lekua, it's a Pasul Abris. And this is Shchiyah, it can happen, very Shchiyah, but it happens. A male is not Mishaya, right? Or it's very short, he's scared to cut too much, doesn't make two main reasons, because we said a lot of times, extra Arlo, some of the Mishas, the Bris, he's touching it, and it's the Skasha, so that Tar is higher up, and he doesn't realize that when it's the Srapa, it's lower down, so he takes off from here instead of from here, and he banders it by the Bris, so 2 days later it looks nice, but as soon as the scab wears out, a week or two later, it comes back up, and it covers the Chot HaSayiv, and the Bris If you all these days, we don't have the Shach and the Taz, the Mishmur, it's a possible verse. Now, there is another Shita, but Etzim, this Shita, the Shita Yazaktana, is very, very pelvic. Because Rashi said that Rav Gaiva, Kolshkein Rav Hekif, right? Now, see Rashi, it's Pashat. Because Rav Hekif means a Hekif of this area, and Rav Gaiva means one spot. So if you have Rav Gaiva, it's not Negev Rav Hekif. Because one spot Ma'akif, of course, the whole thing is Ma'akif. So the Yadaktana, same thing as if you'd say that Torah is the whole thing, Seifer, Gaiva, so it's a Kol Shekein. But if you look in the Rambam, and in the Torah, and the Mechaber, they don't bring the Din of Reiv Hekif. They just bring the Din of Reiv Gaiva. If you learn like Rashi, it's fine, it's a Kol Shekein. If you learn that the whole thing, like Yadaktana wants the Bayais, it's a Kol Shekein. But if you learn like the Chacham Asfari and the Shaykh and Taz is Paskining, then you don't, because this is Ma'akif Reiv Gaiva, you don't know this din of Reiv Hekif. How does Shulchan Aruch, Rambam and Torah leave out this din? And you learn the sugya, everybody come out has the kasha, it's a peladik kasha. And the mashmoyus would be that even though the Beis Yosef brought the Shit Tzachim Svardi, but in the halacha and the mechabri, paskin like the Rambam and the Torah, and Mele la halacha, he was paskining that Avada, what's only Ma'akif, even for Reiv Hekif, you need Reiv of the whole top. I'll come out a big nafkamina because the Mishnah Brura says that on Shabbos we know if it's tzitzin hama'akiv yechayzer even if you were payrish. Zok the Mishnah Brura, what's a tzitzin ma'akiv? Even Reiv Hekif of the Chutas Zayiviv. The Fidei Yadaktana, the Mechaber and the Rambam and the Torah don't hold like that. It's mok tzarechin if on Shabbos you'd be allowed to go back. It's a very shver shayla. I don't know if you had Mishnah Brura to be saymech. Shach and Taz bring it even a race of Mechvav and Hilchas Shabbos, but it's a geisa shayla. Like upon it, he is the first thing that could go wrong with the bris, if he doesn't cut all across either, he can have it in one spot, which Lefidus to Ashar, he won't be Yitzah, and if we don't paskin like that, but if it comes all around, if you don't have the Apash, we paskin like that, you'll have a Pasul of bris. That was the first Groysa Machloikis in Ilchas Mila. The second Machloikis was mentioned last week, it was the Machloikis of the Divrei Chaim and the Chochmas Adam. That means like this, the Chochmas Adam, we explained before that if you don't cut that Torah and you Arla and you push it down, it'll come back up. What happens if you had a way that it pushed it down? There's a Kron mentioned the way by Hypospadius bris that maybe you could push it down. But see, I actually did one this morning and I have Hypospadius early here to show the Eilam. Punk Marshall makes it with the shear, it goes. But the Metzias is, even Hypospadius Arla, if you push it down, it's going to come back up. Not only that, a lot of times the Eilam cut very short and a lot of the redos are on Hypospadius because they didn't take off enough because they're scared of the doctors. And the doctor says, leave me a lot of skin, and you have to redo it. It's also, today, I don't think it's worth talking about, it's not very common, but if somebody does have Hypospadius, the doctors always say you need surgery. The Reiv, you don't need surgery. I can send you to the doctor to tell you you don't need surgery, and we can fix it up with the bris, and it'll be all good. But let's leave that for now. So, Chacham Sadim, you don't have to cut. There's no mitzvah to cut. The mitzvah is just in Megal that Torah. So, Dr. Rechaim, those things, just like Priya, you don't have to cut. As long as that Torah is Megala, same thing is with Arlo. If the Arlo would stay down, he'd be right to the bris. Now, a lot of Paiskim go not like the Chochmas Adam, that you'd rather have to cut, but they say it's a not. What happens, and this is really what the Shiloh's Negeya, what happens when Moil goes and he cuts this much Arla, not that Torah, of course, cuts this much Arla, and he pushes down the rest, and he had very little Priya, and the Metzias says, L'Roiv it will stay back. What happens if he took off most of the Arla and it stayed down? So there, the Baal Diskin, a lot of Paiskim, they say, you did cut. Maybe they're arguing on the Chochmas Adam, says you don't have to cut it all, but you have to cut. But if you cut most of it, and the rest stays down, you eat to the bris. L'fil Chochmas Adam, you're not a Yitzah. He holds that the din, this is the chilek. Chochmas Adam holds the din is to cut off the Arla. The Rechaim holds the din is to be Megal that Torah. And God over here, the Pesachei Tshuva here brings the Chamudei Daniel that says that there are a lot of Moilim who do that. They don't take off the hole, they push it down. He says, V'teimim in Allahu. How do they know you could do it? If you look in the Rishonim, you have to take off the Arla Kula. If you go into Chochmas Adam, which is the Pesachei Tshuva, mentions it, and some Seifa says, Mitzvah, look over there. Every single day, there are Pasul Bris. Every single day. Any Moil will tell you this. It's called the Divrei Chaim Bris. Every day there are Moilim who mamish do l'roiv Divrei Chaim Bris. They don't take off the full share. Oh, they take off around here and there, and they push it down, and it stays back. Most Paiskim, even the ones who go like the Chochmas Adam, they say, Ein Chanami, it's not Mitzvah Tikuna, it's not the best way, but Avada, Arulai Havi. Arulai Havi, that's the Lashon. You can't call him Arul. Moshe, but the Rechaim used to quote, Erle Shalaybim Kaima. That's what Moshe would tell my father. Erle Shalaybim Kaima. Is it if it's Nayim Kaima, if I have a shame Arlo, the mitzvah might be to take it off, but an Arlo you're not. So, first thing is, if you have a Moshe who does the Rechaim Bris.
What defines where the Arla ends and where the
Arla... Good Shai. So the answer is that the Shai, it's based on what's past that, what was originally between Lada covering that Torah. Anything between Lada.
Why should it totally on Lada and not Shas Kishri?
There's a Shach Shita about Shas Kishri, something like has a beer in it, not like that, but the belt does, nobody goes like that. Everyone else is not telling Shas Kishri. Explain to you, if you go with Shas Kishri, you know, talk about it afterwards. A God, every guy is Gemalt then. There's no such a thing. They're very, very powerful in Shas. So here we have the second Zach. A person, if you, a Mayul does a bris, and he does it, he takes off a kum shirt, he pushes it down, Lefini Chacham Sodom, Chacham Daniel, was talking about it, you're not yet to the bris, even if you are, it's not a Chathilo Dikr bris. There might even be a much bigger problem. And that is, I don't know if I got to, it's a very Shverit Taz. It's a Taz here in Reich Samagdal declares a Shaila. He says, what would be if you have a Nayul Mal? He has no Arla. But later he becomes fat. And because he became fat, skin from behind comes forward and covers that Torah. He says, Tzarechim, maybe he's an Arl, he needs Milo Deraisa, or maybe that it has to be Arl B'Teilah, there has to be skin that was originally. But he fears Ois. But if you have a person who was Noel Mova Miktsas, L'Chay, what he means is, he had Arl, but it wasn't Ma'akiv, that means it was what didn't cover Roiv Hekif or Gaiva, and then it comes forward when it comes about Basar, so if they're that zikr, he's an Arul, we need to do the bris. I'm a Zoy, it's very Yitachin when you learn the Sugya, that Lefin the Sheet instead of saying, Avadu, you're not an Arul, or you can't say he's an Arul, because it's not covering that Torah. But it's still called Arul, it's Shalom Kaima. Now, if the person gets older, it's like when he's very old, which is very common, and his skin gets looser and he gets fatter and it'll come forward, it's Yitachin to say, the fetus Taz, it could be Mechalik, you could be Yitz, Mitzvah, not, but it's very talking to say that the Taz would hold that Avadli Yubayba Arul. So this is Mamish, a bigger, even though we said in Moshe Avinez, they're most go like the Rechaim, and if you say, if you don't pass the Rechaim, you're making a lot of Arelim in Klal Yisrael. But it is very talking that if later he becomes fat, even the bris was kosher, he might Mamish need Medina, and the Heter of Kishu Yishlish won't work. So that's another starker reason. You have to be careful. The Moyul should do a Lachatchil Dikr Bris. Of course, above both of these things is that we all know about the Gemara of Zakei Maveyu of Mitzvahs Nayas, Esrig Nasi, Fatayrina, and all those things. Where's that Gemara? Gemara's in Shabbos. What's the Gemara talking about? It's in Jain Makkah. Gemara's talking about Milo. The Din. So, it's true. The Esrig you bring to Shul and you show it to everybody, and the Milo you're not going to. But this, like we said before, is the biggest mitzvah of a person's life. And the Gemara said the mitzvah that came out of you on the mitzvah smila. And this is something a father, average father, will never know. He probably is the same level as kids, it looks the same for all. But people who are involved, doctors, numerous times, top pediatricians who see thousands of kids have told me, I can tell I'm always his bris. I can tell. But he sees tons of, he knows, a nebris. The person who goes to our business, it's Klar. It was just this Shabbos, the famous Dr. Shannick in Lakewood. I did his anical Shabbos. And after the bris, I go over to him, he tells me, he says, Shkoyach, beautiful job. I'm not sure what he said. I said, you weren't standing, you're staying 20 feet away. I said, this week you're going to see it. So he said, what do you mean? I think I didn't see enough of your bris already. I know you did a beautiful job. So, there's such a mitzvah. And Zichr, besides, we said the first thing is that, you know, you use the brother-in-law, the mail, you can have Mam Shilas. We spoke about the Chavos Adam and the Mishar and the Rechai, all these things. Avad is Zichar Inyan of Noah the Mitzvah.
That would be another reason why the father shouldn't do it.
Yeah, because of neatness, right. But this question of the neatness over there is that since the father puts on if the male makes the tefisa and he puts on the guard, the cut should be, if he stays on the guard, the same. It's not always. That's the two big machoikasin on I'm just trying to get the time. On in Hilchas Mila. The next two machlokes I'm going to speak about are in the Mesorah and the Minhag Mila. The first one, which is what we call the battleground state, is Mitzitza Bepeh. It says, and the Gemara it's brought down that if a mail is not meitzitz, we take him off. We don't let him do. And the pashtus, Gemara is mavur, it's about sakana. And the Gemara says you could even do it on Shabbos, even though dam chaburi mechmer, it's a chabura. You could do mitzitz on Shabbos because it's a sakana. It was mentioned all the week that some want to say the Ran is mesupik, that maybe it's part of the mitzvah of Mila. Just want to point out, it's very moid na'itach. What the Ran says is, when he's handling the din of Pirish on Shabbos, that you can't be chayzer, so the Ran is mesupik if before mitzitza is still called Amtsar Bris. So some want to say, you know what the suffix of the Ran is mitzitza chayzer Mila. That's a big kiddush to me that that's the suffix if it's a chaylik in a meal or not. It's much more, to me, more you're talking, others say not like me, bigger people than me, and they say that the suffix is if, since it's a sakona, but it's still a part of the bris, so mainly, is it still part of the chaylik in a meal that's considered you weren't pirish or not? Chayr is much of that. So, pashtas avada nazoy nemen on most baiskim that avada mitzitza is al sakona. And Avadit brought down the Chuvis, it's a Messiah, the Kabbalah, something to shame desire, it's about to find desire, that was done by Pat. But in the time of some Sefer in Tafresh Tzadik Vav, in 1836, there was a situation where there was a kid that seems today had, the kid had what we have like today, Herbert says, that he had a Mokum, he had a Nega, started the Mokum Amila, and it went to the rest of the body. And the doctor said it came from a Tzitzim Peh, and Mila, they wanted to stop the Meilim, Asa the Meilim from doing Brisim. So the Yalazar sent his Rebbe, the Samsoifer, a Shailo, does the Tzitzim have to be done by Peh Dafka? Samsoifer wrote back to Metshuva that an Halacha doesn't say, and his Lashon was, if the Svug, if you use a sponge, is just as good, it's only different Kabbalah, the Eimonu Menestaris, and that's what the Samsoifer wrote back. And this caused a tremendous rash in Klai. So if you look in the Stechemet, he has there a Kalkari, I never seen in my life. Oh, I counted over 200 signatures. Every single city in Europe is signed on Kenega that the Kalkari, everyone, they came very stark against that Avada Zichah, you have to prepare, and the other ways to do it are Zichah not as good. Others at the time, the Shem Shem first came, Hirsch came in and he said Zichah, this had nothing to do with the Mitzvah had to do because the Meil was an Ish Tmeis Vasayim, and the Meila he made Tsaris, and we talking know that today, that Ish Tmeis, and he said it comes from the Shikas Nashim. He writes in Mamish in the thing that it comes from the Shikas Nashim, and we know that today. And the Shikas Shakim is something that could cause the spread of herpes, and it could Mamish cause this Machel, Mamish what Tramish refers to Skavin too. But not only does True make a rash, others brought down, and the Sechem and Elaine writes it, that they started saying it's not true. The whole thing's not true. It's a tshuva mizuyefes, is what they said. Not true. A guy in the Shevet HaLevi, he says that he was in the Oxford Library in England and he saw the Ksav Yad. And he said, but on the side of the Ksav Yad, a Talmud wrote that Osir Lahatvis, that's Osir Mefaris in this tshuva. And that's where I'm shaking others say that some Sefer did it only outside Ras Shah. And another raya they bring is the fact that he didn't put it into the Svarim. It's not in, there's thousands of tshuvas from Sefer, and you won't find this one there. The only way we have it is because the Yadalazar put it in his tshuva Sefer. He put the tshuva. And in Oxford Library, it's also there. And the Mele, he says, Ras Shah, but about the Zichra, some Sefer wasn't really be'etzim being matterit. Now, at that time, there were a lot of other things. People said that svug is not good, so they would other things used. People use tubes, people use the balloon method, all different balloons. I just want to explain one thing that we have to understand a little bit, what was the big rash, and that is that if you look in history, the two things that reform, or whatever they were called at that time, started up with Yidden, the first two things was always Shechita and Mila. That was the first two things they always started up with the Frumah, and the place that they always got a listening ear. If you remember, Taka, when it started in New York, all the radio stations, everyone making fun of it. Mitzitza Bepez, right away, everyone starts talking about it, everyone starts making fun of it, because they're trade for cops. So, the Mela, that's always where they hop on. And Mela, in a lot of places, Zunder by Hasidim, they held that it was Pasha Mesiris Nefesh, for the Mesiris Nefesh of the Mitzvah, that if you're going to let them get one finger involved, it's the whole thing's going to become battle. And they held it with Mamish Mechamish Mitzvah, and they wouldn't give in. Other places you see, they weren't so awkward, Litvish places, Lamashal. See, some Sefer, the Mishneh Berurah brings the Bein Tzion that says, Shtar, Kalach, Mishneh Mishneh, and then he says, Avalayim, Mishneh Sefer, that he says, that's what he brings the Bir Halacha. It's interesting, the Shevra Levi, there's a tshuva there, it's a Sefer Bris brings it, that Moshe Patinsky, he told the Shevra Levi that has once tuum to the Chafetz Chaim's Einikul, or Mendel Zaks, and he told me, the Chafetz Chaim told him, Eveistish was the grace of Zach, Vigim, Batsitsa Bepel. He didn't understand the whole thing. And the Shevra Levi wrote him back, I believe you, if that's the story, but I was by a bris in the Iraq, and I was warning the father of the Moshe to Batsitsa Bepel, and the Chazanish was there, and he told me, he said, by uns is noch the Pirzah, we're already holding by the Litvish after the Pirzah, by Bedu halt stark, told him be stark about it. That means that seems that Doylem all held about the, you're talking, it's Kedai to mention, that when sicknesses were going around in Litta and in Brisk, tuberculosis was going around, they did not do Matitza Bepeh, they just used a gauze and they squeezed. There's a famous story, I don't know if it ever happened, that Reberel, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he was making a Brisk in Eretz Yisrael, and he asked the Brisker Rav, he asked his father, if he should do Mitzvah Bepeh. So the Brisker Rav said, yeah. So he said, up in the Haim, the Brisk, they didn't do it. So Brisker Rav told him, in the Haim, it's Gever HaSakonet Zatam Mitzvah Bepeh. Don Yushalayim, it's Sakonet Nish Zatam Mitzvah Bepeh. And of course, what he meant is that you could get a rock through your window. So, Akoponim, this is the Shail. My father, Punk, was always very, very makvid. But you see, they already have the Nezer rights, that's not a Sakara today. And if you want to go so right, Shul Shleim Zalman, Shul Shleim declares, what's the heter to do Matitza Ben Shabbos? Since we don't find a Sakara today, and the Gemara says, Dam Chaburi Nechmer, it should be Yasser. Sucked. The Dr. Shleim Zalman could be, since it's not a Sakara today, it's Makalkal. The heter to do Matitza Ben Shabbos, it's Makalkal. Didn't say it. But let's just say it's Kui, what he means, it's a Manav Shach. If it's a Sakana, if it's a. If his son, Shmuel, writes in a Sefer that the way people do Matzitza today, they don't get the Dam, they do it fast, they don't get the Dam, so it's not. Shleim Miller told me, Yechidah took a Pshat, he wanted to say, the Etzim of Adir is a Sakana. Shleim Psalim Hashem. So just we talk and don't find that it's a problem. Okay, finished V. I just want to explain what this is the Nidin. Of what? And Mechsim told a very mock, but most yeshivish places come out of the lake, what I almost never had. It's about one yeshiva, a certain yeshiva, who tells Talmidim not to drink the tube. I wish the tube. A lot of places, in out of town places, but still in the lake, where it's come out not heard of. Every time I use the tube, but this yeshiva's Talmud, everyone makes a rash call. That's just to get a little background, understand what the history of that Nidin. Second Nidin of Sayra is the Indian that was mentioned last week, so I'm gonna do it very quick, and plus because we're running out of time, and that is the Indian of Milu Priyaka Achas. We showed you almost all the tools here except for this one. That means like this, that we explained in the beginning that by having less Priya, you're gonna have a neater bris. More Priya is gonna bunch up, and it's not gonna be as neat. So, therefore, a picture of more Priya, less Priya. So therefore, we come out all Moilam today, probe, and to get it more Priya. What happens if you get a lot of Priya, and there's almost no Priya left? It would seem, it'll be even neater, it'll be even better. And that's why a lot of Moilam, and that was Taka the Messiah always, right? All Moilam, for my Zaydis, Vosmer was Besser. So they came out with a thing, with a tool, it's called a hemostat, this is what it looks like. It's not a scissor, it just grips, it has little grips over here. It has a clicker in the back. See, it clicks. No one can see, it clicks in the back. That you could stick it in before the bris, before you do your chittach. Let's get to the chittach fiction. Before you do your chittach, the mail sticks it in here. He puts it all the way in to where the end of the arla is, closes it and clicks it. Now he's holding the whole priya. Obviously, it's gonna be, the priya grows out of here. But a very minute amount of priya is gonna stretch itself up all the way up. And then after the bris, and it goes out, he's going to have come out no Priya, and it'll be a beautiful bris. And a lot of other milos they brought that bleeds less, and there's less tzar, because the Priya skin blows up after, and it gets more tzar. A lot of svaras. And like we said in the beginning, the whole reason why you have to Priya, now some said no, Priya means ripping. Okay, so Shmuel Gratz said, others said, even it's ripping, cutting is also ripping. Right, Kriya, you could cut, you could do Kriya with ripping. So if you're cutting it off, it's also a for the Priya. And there were a lot of Gdoilim, and it seems more by Litvish Gdoilim, that said it's fine to do Milu Priya Kachas. Others, by Chassidim especially, they were very, very taken with Kifis, that you need to do Milu and Priya, they said, it's two different mitzvahs, And others throw in that we have a minute from that was from the Rosh to do the bracha between Milu and Priya. So if you're doing it together, you're not doing the bracha between the Milu and Priya. Other things. But Lameisa, by Litvisher Meisha, his brought has two tshuvas that he says, you could do, it could be a kachas. It's glad to mention that in one of the tshuvas, Ramesha says, Avul miyais toiv, it is better to leave a little bit and rip it with your nails to mekayim the medeshach toiv. The meaning, the mystery that I have, it's almost the like patented by my father, it's called like the Moses method, all my will know about it, is that Tzibalt, and we come, you want to be yoitza aladeis, and having a little priya still, and you take off enough arachitzin, it was still a beautiful bris. So there's an eitzah, because what happens also a lot of times is there's more priya on one side and the other side, because the Torah folds itself into one side of the priya. So we take the himistat in, and we don't go all the way, we pull it back. One thing. Another thing people are very upset about this is the tzar. That you hear when the ma'ilim click it, the baby starts screaming very loud. And I even heard another shayim, Shlomo Miller says, that a lot of times if you click it very tight, on Shabbos it could be an issue of a chabur that's shleil tzayir. So the minhag of my father was always to pull it back a little bit and just hold it. This way you might lose a little bit, but not much, but we want to have a little bit left over. And you also, the babies don't scream, Blizzard Rebbe, the Friedrich one, he said to my father, he's Margish Tsar Dianuka when he's Sandik, and my father is the least tsar that he ever had. So, and people know, just told me the other week, all by the Moses, the babies don't cry. They come out, don't cry. The way we do it, like this. So, this is the needed. So, like we said, a lot of Pesachim were very, very stuck. Now, if you look in some of the Jewish in the Michas Yitzchak, they say that you should leave Roiv Priya. This is klar, that the Messiah is, that there's no Messiah to leave Roiv Priya. Every mile, you'll be out of business in a minute. Tries to get, also between 70 and 80%. Sometimes it's not matzliach. If they're not matzliach, they cut it off afterwards. They know it's not needed. A good mile will trim it off afterwards. That's why I say it's especially important Shabbos to use a good mile, because you can't trim it later. Some ma'ilim are known, they mamish two out of three times, they trim it later.
They trim it in the room afterwards.
They trim off all the priyas. Moshe Weisberg is so busy in Eretz Yisrael that he just takes the bris on the table right near and he cuts it right there in the bris. And I just always say half the time, a third of the time, yeah. That's this needed. So the others were very against. Others do ka'achas. And Ramesha said Miyosh Tev to leave a little bit. In his next tshuva, which was written later, it's actually his last tshuva, Arucha, there he said you could say that the Shekha Tev only means when there's Priya. When there's Priya, then you should do Mitzipayim. So you could say it's later and he was Chayzer. So obviously, whatever you do, you're going to pull it that way. We're not here to tell you what to do. We're here just to say, to speak out the Shekhas. Getting late. So the last thing, I want to cover everything on the thing, which is not so much negiah halacha, these are shaylos and halacha and mesayra. It's just something that probably the most common thing that almost every father, even if he doesn't get involved, now Mitzvah will get more involved, but the ma'il comes to check for yellow and then he comes back and everyone, nobody knows what this is, what's going on, where's going on, the number, it's this number, it's that number, every meal is a different number, everyone's confused. So I want to just give a little quick hesber of what yellow means. And what the numbers are, and what's the din, l'maisa, b'zanenu. So you know, the Gemara says, if it's a baby's yarek or edim, it's a simon shalei nafal beidamai, or l'nivl beidamai, it's a sakana to do the bris. Maybe it was in shtana metziyas or teva, but we definitely have no understanding of that l'nafal beidamai, of nivl beidamai, of green and red. What we do have is yellow. And the Yaivits and others already say they bring a rye from Chulim, which is interesting how you can bring a rye from Trevis of the Covet, but they bring a rye that yellow is included in green, and they say, Mela, yellow baby, and it seems to clarify a Messiah on that babies that are very yellow, we don't do the bris. What is yellow? So the yellow that we know now, according to the medical knowledge that we understand now, yellow is bilirubin, that means that baby blood, the blood cells, the red blood cells in the bloodstream, are constantly dying and constantly replenishing themselves. Bilirubin is dead blood cells in the bloodstream. The bilirubin number, 5, means you have 5 grams of bilirubin of these dead cells in 1,000 grams of blood. That's your bilirubin number. When a baby is born, he was originally using his mother's blood system, and now he's switching over to his own blood system. His liver didn't need to work till now, and it's a sort of an undeveloped liver. So right away when he's born, he starts already producing, his cells start dying, and the liver produces an enzyme which breaks up the bilirubin and lets it, because the bilirubin really, it's water insoluble, it can't be passed out into the urine. But once this enzyme breaks it up, it can be passed out. But till it's able to break it down, it doesn't get passed out, and it gets higher and higher, and that's why the baby gets more and more yellow. This pigmentation comes from this large amount. And that's why you find preemie babies are born even earlier. Usually their livers are less developed, and they have a bigger issue of yellow. This usually gets worse. Almost all babies gets worse and worse and worse. Day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5. By day 5, the liver catches up and it starts getting better. So all babies called physiological jaundice. It's a natural process of every baby. There is something similar. It's also called physiological, which the way the doctors say it is called Crohn's positive or ABO incompatibility. A lot of times it's hereditary, which means the baby has a different blood type than the mother. And the way they think they understand it is that as soon as the baby's born, since it's a stereo of blood types from what he was using to what he has now, it destroys a large amount of blood cells right away, and those babies shoot up very, very high the first day, not as like the other babies who got worse and worse, but those babies come down very, very fast. It just happens in one day, and it's usually never an issue for the bris. Okay, so now we have what it is. According to the doctors, there's basically no problem with this. It's normal, it's natural, it's nothing according to the bris. What are they worried about? So there is something the body has called the blood-brain barrier. We'll explain it just like as a filter on the brain. That there's certain things, if they get to the brain, certain parts of the blood, it could be a tsar. So the body has a blood-brain barrier that filters out bilirubin in the blood from reaching the brain. If somebody has extreme levels, that means very, very severe levels of bilirubin, it could break through this barrier and it could reach the brain, and chas v'shalom, it could cause some machal called kernerticus, which could cause retardation. And that's why when the babies reach a very hard number, what they do is they do a transfusion. They take out 10 cc of blood and they add in 5 cc of something else's blood that has very almost no blood bilirubin. They do it again and again to knock it down. When do they do this transfusion? Years ago, they did it at 15 already. They did a transfusion. That was 40 years ago. 20 years ago, they did it. They did it at 20. Today, they don't do it till close to 25. I mean, they realize that till 25, you're still safe. It won't go into the blood-brain barrier. It won't go into the brain. You're not worried. However, of course, a little before that, a lot of doctors, 70, 80, 20, they'll already send them to the hospital. They want to put you under the lights, which breaks it down, so you don't reach that thing. So this is yellow. Now, as we see, that the doctors themselves got more and more makel. Same thing with Darbonim. They got more and more makel. A typical example, if you look in the famous, there's a set of Sforim called Mishmas Avram, it was written by a big doctor, a big Baal Halacha, who's he has a lot of Shal Yashiv, and he put out like a new volume every 2 or 3 years, and if you look at the volumes of the Shal Yashiv, first they were Makbid on 12, and then they were Makbid 13, then 14, he kept getting more and more Makel. He used to wait to 17, wait 7 days, if he reached 18, and then the baby reached 19, he let them do the bris right away. I mean, once it came down. That's why he's Gebrach. Another similar thing, if you look in the Sefer Bris Avram for Rami Cohn, he has there, he wrote a tshuva to the Shevet HaLevi, and he asked him that, he said he was in the Talmud of the Papadayim Zatzal, and the Papadayim made him give, the Chassidim were very makbar in this game, made him give Tkiyas Kaf, and he's not going to do a baby over 10. So what should I do now? Yeah, everybody, you know, so many babies over 10. So Shevet HaLevi told him, that Tkiyas Kaf was up to the doctors of then. Now the doctors changed, and you could change. That means that even though the Rabbanim are still going to tell you that even though doctors let you do the bris even at 20 or whatever, but we can't do it because Allah tells us you can't do. Allah tells you can't, but the numbers still move. And that gets very interesting. By the Chassid and the Nagiri, they were very, very makbid. In Litvish places and Polish places, they were much more makel. And you even find that all the Rishonim use a lashon of Yarek B'yoyser, Edom B'yoyser, and the Mechaber left it out. He said, he wrote Yarek or Adam. And everybody asked the Shaila, why didn't he write the Yisr? They said, because people don't know what the Yisr is, so you have to go to Chumrah. So it could be the Takim and Hagim, some only Makbid and the Yisr, like the Litvish places or the Baalish places, it could be the Chassidim and Makbid, like the Mechaber, even unless. I'll come upon him. Just a little explanation. What's Takim Shad? The Chazal said, it's Sakana. How could we go and say that now we could do the doctor said we could do it, so we could do it. So I think it's the Pashto explanation to say would be like this, that I'll give a mashal. We know chaim, everyone's ma'idah. If a person has fever, it's a chaylik al-guf, you have to wait 7 days. There's a nidim that what happens if they have today, what do? When the baby's sick, they take a white blood cell count. They see if the baby has an infection. And they've learned that a baby could get fever without an infection, either from being very hot or from dehydration. So what happens if you have a baby, the doctors say we know for sure that there's nothing wrong with this baby ever. Could you do the bris? So there's a machlokes. So yes, you can do it. And others are chaylik. What's the pshat? The chaylik, we can say the pshat is that chaym, chazal never said chaym is vadi chaylik kol gof. Chaym is a suffic chaylik kol gof. But if now, with our medical knowledge today, we can know what it is, so then if we push the shayla, it's a zaitik thing that we're talking about. It's very interesting. One of my favorite in sugyas and mila, my kabur is on andragan. It's a fascinating topic. Andragan, my father once did andragan, the only one I ever heard of in Boston. But there's a truth from Shevet Levi, where we know we pass on andragan as a suffic. That they had a person, they had a zachar in a kavis, and he did internal testing. He didn't have bayim, he didn't have any kli zachar, and he only had kli nekeva. So to Shevet Levi, he says, I don't want to pass it on my own, get another girl to join me, but if we have two, I'm going to pass again that they want to take us again and they just make it die up, that Zach's the cave is a suffix, because you don't know. But if we could be do Bedikas now, and we could be Megala that this kid internally is a Zachar, not in a cave, he'll let them. Mamish, the kid won't do, he'll go with Kavis, he'll do everything. Mamish, Shailas, Niras, and Itakar, what's the tshuva? It's the same thing. So, what could be, well, we spoke about physiological jaundice. We said it's a natural. A vadi is such a thing. If you had a baby with a defective liver, that's called pathological jaundice. Itakar is sick. Now, the doctors today, they do tests and they see there's nothing wrong, his liver is healthy, and then they say, oh, it's natural. So, we could say that this that says in the Gemara that yellow is, so that doesn't mean it's a vadi sakana, same as chayim. It's a suffix sakana. If we could be in a zbara, that's not a sakana, we could talk and be mekel and let's do the bris. Just want to, last thing, point out, and this is very negay, and I have this all the time, and it's really uncomfortable for me to be the one to tell the person, but a lot of times you ask a guy and he says, well, what was the bris? Is yellow or not doing the bris? What happened by Al-Kaim? He said it's yellow. Now we just explained, this is mamish. They're all different cries in the Klai Yisrael. A person called his mail. His mail maybe had kiskav from someone, right? So he doesn't want to do the bris. Does that mean that you have a chiyav yom hashmini? It's daicha Shabbos. You have to ask your rav. The mail is not your paisik on yellow. I think it's posh. I had talking once. Mail. He told the father that I can't do it because that's my mesayro. But go. But you, a lot of mail will do it. Go do it. Go to a different mail. He's a shuvu with Dr. Mizik Zilberstein. Where Marlon said it's too yellow, and the different Marlon said, I'll do it. So the first one said, oh, you do it anyway, I'll do it. So said, no, he can't do it, that's his Messiah. But if I have to give it to another Marlon, do it. So just an important thing to know. Not always because this Marlon won't do it, means that you shouldn't do the bris, is Mane. Okay. And thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.
You know,
I'm 46 in jokes. Oh, we have to ride, then come up and show the hands on.